Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Blog Talk Radio. Good evening, YouTube. Good evening to all of our friends that may find this somewhere else. It is good to have you with us tonight. And we're going to be heading right into this thing just like we've been doing. And continually studying this, the effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. And we're just glad to have you with us. You know, gave you a couple announcements last night and this morning. I'm going to give you the same announcement again because I feel it's of the utmost importance to continually talk about these issues. So tonight we have Brother Dan and Sister Mary, Pastor Rick with us. Everybody say hello to them. Thank you. Now let's, excuse me, I'm going to share my screen here. If you haven't been to the Give Him 15 website lately, I would encourage you by the assignment that the Holy Spirit told Brother Dutch, I would encourage you to go here to givehim15.com. When you get here on your computer, you click on Paint Your State. You'll see it right here in the, up here by the home button, Paint Your State. If you're on your phone, it'll be up in the top right-hand corner by the three hash marks, or on the left-hand corner, wherever those three hash marks are, you'll find Paint Your State up there. And I would encourage you to go there. When you go there, when you open the page, the first thing you're going to see is the page open. There it is. And they're going to give you three videos, three 15-minute videos, talking about the dream that God gave somebody, I forget who it was, Gina Goldstein probably. And then Brother Dutch is actually preaching it at his brother Tim's church. And then the Cape Mary Declaration, the Anoint the Borders Decree, and the Declaration of Dependence on God. These are the prayers that we're supposed to be praying when we go and paint our state in the blood of Jesus. Here's how to create a post. Part of the website, what to say. And then you can see here is a list of all the states. And I'll go down here and I'll show you North Dakota. Maybe I'll show you. There it is, North Dakota. When you click on that, it's going to open up and show you all the different posts of people who've been posting in the North Dakota page. And they're saying how it is that they have been painting the state and praying over the different situations that Brother Dutch has led us into. By the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So I would encourage you to go to this website, givehim15.com/paintyourstate. And let's see what it says. Hold on. Let me try again. Givehim15.com. And then it's called groups. All right. /groups. Anyways, get on there and go to your state and then connect with people in the state that's praying for your state. Wow, somebody painted the North Dakota state capitol today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And the judicial wing in Bismarck. Hallelujah. Well, and it's just good because you get to see what's going on in your state. I just encourage you to do this. This is an assignment God gave Brother Dusty the instruction, get it done by September. I would imagine most states are going to be covered and painted across the state probably 5 or 10 times by December, by September. And what are we doing? We are solidifying the fact that prayer warriors are everywhere. And it is so amazing to me that as soon as God gave this assignment, thousands of people stepped up and said, we've already been doing this. We all heard in the spirit, God gave it to Brother Dutch to bring public. We all heard it in the spirit and we're already doing it. I got to tell you, before he ever said anything about it, I know that Sean Fowke is still going to come to North Dakota and do his kingdom to the capital. This has been my thought ever since then. Well, we just got to get a group of people together and just ride the big circle around the United, around North Dakota, and pray and get people to come out and get a band to sing some songs and just start early. Well, this is really the Holy Spirit was giving me the understanding. But when you go here to the website and you realize not only me, but about 25, 30 other people in North Dakota, all of a sudden you realize, wait, God is doing a mighty work in this nation.
Yeah. Oh my.
A mighty work that just because you don't see it doesn't mean there's not thousands of people in your state that are out there actively doing something every single day. And like Sister Donna Howie Schubeck said, I may not be able to drive to all corners of the state, but I can drive around my city in a big circle, and I can get a map out and point my finger at every entry point on the map and pray over every one of those cities and speak these three declarations that Brother Dutch has given us to speak, or the Holy Spirit has given us to speak through our brother. Just encourage you. I beseech you. I am pretty close to commanding you. Is that fair? I implore you. Okay, all right, I've been corrected. I implore you. No, I command you. Go see Touched by an Angel. No, that's not what it's called. What's it called? Sound of Music.
Sound of Freedom.
The Sound of Freedom.
Good evening, Tracy. We love you.
Good evening, Tracy. Now, I thought I'd find something different when I searched this, but I didn't. But it's all right. Go to the Sound of Freedom. Maybe that's what I got to do. Sound of Freedom. There it is. It's very worth your time. It'll make you angry. It'll make you cry. But it'll be good for you. Isn't that some media limitation right there? I don't know if you saw it. It took me 4 tries to actually get here, as if it was some kind of a bad movie to watch. And when you go here, you can somewhere here you can find out. Isn't the right website, that's why. No wonder. Let's try it again. Sound of Freedom movie.com. There you go. There we go. The angel tickets. I knew we would find it. Check it out, man. Last time I looked at this, there were 7 million tickets that had been paid for so other people could see it. Now there's 9 million. How amazing is that? Goal was to get 2 million, and now they're at 9 million. I think we should shout glory be to God, hallelujah. So here we go.
Glory be to God, hallelujah.
Thank you. And you can come here and you can find all the information you need to do about it. You watch the movie. You can contribute. Let's see what it says. Pay it forward. Oh, wow. Explore a new project, angel funding, acceleration fund. Wow. That's cool. Well, here's the reality. God has blessed Brother Tim Ballard for his faithfulness to do this work no matter what. And I would encourage you, honestly, to put this whole team on your prayer list. It's called the Underground Railroad. And they took the name of it from the Underground Railroad that Harriet Tubman began in the Civil War to end slavery in the United States of America. And he's doing it to end child trafficking and all of that in the United States of America. And now, where's that? Where did I send you that? Did I send you that short video of those people working in the mine?
You did not send it.
I did not send it to you. Do you realize that was a very major mistake? Well, I put it here somewhere. And here's the thing about it. What I found was a picture of what's going on in the mines. What kind of mines were those again? Cobalt. In the cobalt mines that they're mining for the batteries for your Tesla and all your cell phones. And there was 15,000 humans, men, women, and children, that were in the cobalt mine digging the cobalt out with their hands and with small shovels. 15,000 of them in slavery to give you enough batteries to do your work. And I have batteries and everything that's sitting around me. So this is a very, very real problem. And I encourage you to get your prayers out. Ask God to give you a specific word. I know one of the words that God gave me is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you. That's Galatians 5:1, where Christ has made you free, and be not again entangled with the yoke of bondage. It's one of the greatest verses. And Father, we declare right now tonight, all across the world, everywhere around the world, in every nation, may the angels of Almighty God liberate tonight people that are bound in slavery. We declare the angels of the Lord who are always before your face, and they're protecting these young children. In the name of Jesus tonight, we declare that the hand of God liberates thousands of children to be able to run free from the places where they are enslaved, and give them great courage and boldness. And may the wicked, perverse enemies who are behind this, may they run and hide in darkness, but most of all, may they get set free. May they be set free so they don't spend eternity in damnation and judgment for what it is that they have done. We speak this now in the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. We remind anybody that's listening, Jesus said, it is better for you to have a millstone hung around your neck and take a long walk off a short pier in deep water rather than to offend and wound one of these little children. God does not take a lightning. All the way through the Bible, we learned it last year as we were doing Read the Word. All the way through the Bible, God has said, take care of the widow and the orphan. All the way through the Bible. In the book of James, true religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widow in their affliction and keep oneself unspotted from the world. It's the sound of music, Tracy. The hills are alive with the sound of music. Sing it, love. All right. Just a little bit of fun to get started. Yeah. Yeah. And since I watched the movie, since we watched the movie together, immediately I began to receive many YouTube videos of people that telling their story of being trafficked has just been continually coming to my YouTube channel. And I've watched a bunch of them. And my goodness sakes alive. I watched one this morning. They just make your hair stand right on end. And this young lady, 15-year-old young lady, has the courage, laying in bed next to the captor, handcuffed and chained, has the courage to get out. And you've got to know the angels of God kept that dude asleep right beside her. And the captive ended his own life. Or the wicked, perverse man ended his own life. Straight down, you know. But and then she got out and actually went into law enforcement so she could go and help other people just like that. It's a great story. I've heard several of them that were just great stories. And every one of them will just rip your heart out. All right, let's say that some different words. Every one of them will cause you to truly pray and fast and seek the Lord. Now, let me say something on that, and then we'll move into our subject for tonight. Every time you see something like this that really creases your soul, not everything that creases somebody else's soul is going to crease yours. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to be passionate about the same thing. But whatever in your life really plucks the strings of your heart, ask God to give you 3 or 4 or 5 verses that deal with that situation. And then every time you're reminded of it, speak those verses of scripture. I'm doing it right now. And there's a group of people that I'm praying for. Been given an assignment by God to pray for him. And so at the beginning, I'm like, well, all right, what are we doing? Since we got an assignment, we got to know what we're doing in the assignment. And this is the verse he gave me. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You're in him. Who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And literally, what I do every time I think of this group of people, I speak that set of verses. Sometimes I only speak verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And what is it that God's called you to do, Pastor? He's called me to stand in the gap, make up the hedge for a group of people that are really struggling with sin consciousness rather than righteousness consciousness. And he wants me to stand in the gap. What do you do when they give you a straw that's too short? Are you empty? You're empty? such a wonderfully caring person. All the things I ever hoped you would share, but it's your straw. You know you got a good wife when she shares the straw with you.
You know you got a good husband when he really appreciates it.
Just learn from us. Appreciate all the small things, like a long straw instead of a short one. Hallelujah. Welcome, guys. Good to have you with us. Now, for those of you that might be new to us, this is called Establishing Your Faith, where you and I are studying the greatest book of faith, the Bible, led by the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus, teacher of the faith, the Holy Spirit, with the supervision of all faith, God our Father. And they all live in here, and they're leading us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about sin again. And we're going to talk about righteousness again. We're going to talk about sowing and reaping again. And it's just what the Bible, it's what life is all about in God. So, here we go. Uh-oh, we lost Brother Dan. Brother Dan got kicked off the ride. Went over that last hump and it flipped him. Come back, Brother Dan, come back. God bless, brother. He's on Blog Talk Radio. All right, here we go. So, grab your Bibles. And let's make our confession together again tonight. We'll get started. Here we go. Hold your Bible up. If you need a good Bible, get this one. Hold your Bible up and make this declaration. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight. I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Now, we're going to take an interesting cruise around the Word of God tonight. So get your typing fingers ready. Get your writing fingers ready. Get your tablet out. Get your cell phone out. Get your computer out. Get your Bible out. What happened to that? Next one. Hi, everybody. Hold on. Now, there we go. Go with me, first of all, to Matthew 13. And I was reading all those verses about sin, and it's just like, man, I just ain't dealing with that. We got to learn about sin, I suppose. I don't know. I know this. I want to know about righteousness. Because righteousness is what exalts a nation. Howdy, Richard. God bless you, sir. Matthew chapter 13 is the parable of the sower. That's what most people call it. And yet, really, Matthew 13 is the parable of the soil. Because even though it talks about the sower, it's really dealing with the soil all the way through it. And so by the Holy Spirit, we're going to deal with this tonight. Give me just a second here. Welcome to all six of you that's streaming with us over there on YouTube. Good to have you with us tonight, Brother Richard. I don't know if you saw it, but I did get your email. I found you, and I will be sending you an email here sometime tonight or tomorrow, and I'll show you the picture, what I'm looking at. Now, Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower, and I'm just going to read this. I'm going to read the first 17 verses, and we're going to talk about this. And then God's going to take us on a journey through his word about sowing instead of sowing to the flesh. All right. All right. God bless you. At least when I sent it, it didn't wake you up. It's the fun part about sleeping during the day. Matthew 13, 1, on the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea. And a great multitude gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. As he sowed, so there's your two verses about sowing, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Some fell among thorns. Thorns sprang up and choked them. Others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear, or cause those ears to listen. Everybody's got a couple of head phalanges on their side of their head. Everybody does. And Jesus isn't really talking about hearing the words in your ears. He's talking about hearing the word down deep in your heart. And so he's just showed us the four kinds of soil. That's the same kind of soil that every human has to deal with. And when you're born again, he makes all things new. But if we're not careful, our thought patterns from the past will cause us to go back and beat down some dirt and make it wayside where nothing can grow. And when the stones pop up in our life, those are chunks of hard soil that'll never be broken down. When that stone pops up, you got to go make a rock pile. Really, a rock pile on a farm is the testimony of a good farmer. Because what has he done? He's gathered the rocks out of the field, put them in a big pile, and that means his field is able to be cultivated and grow wheat or alfalfa or a cover crop like that. You can put up with a few larger stones if you're going to plant corn, but if you have a cover crop, you're going to have it picked right down, because it'll get those rocks will get into the hay bin and everything else and really make a mess. Now, I think it's amazing, because I worked on a farm for quite a few years, and we'd picked that field just really nice and clean the year before, and then as soon as we plowed it and ran the disc over it and then the drag, it's like, how do we dig all these rocks up? I told you the story many different times here, but I was plowing on the back field, and I plowed the same field every year. And I plowed it 3 years in a row. The first year we plowed it, yeah, we got rocks and got a rock picker and dumped them down there and made a big pile of rocks. Second year, got some rocks. And the third year, same field, same tractor, same plow. I hit a rock that was so big it knocked the plow right up out of the ground. And I thought, well, I got a shovel, so I plowed the rest of that furrow up and came back. And when I plowed up to it the next time, I stopped, got my shovel out. And usually you get the shovel out and you dig around a little bit and move it and, you know, whatever you got to have, drag it off or throw it up on the plow somehow or throw it up on the floor of the tractor. And then when you get to the rock pile, you throw it in. And I dug and I dug and then I dug and then I dug. And it took three tractors to get that chunk of rock out of the ground. It was huge. It was a boulder. 2 years in a row, it wasn't there. Third year, how did that rock come up out of the earth where it would actually get caught in the plow? But that's how it is in our life. That's why God said to us, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that we would renew our mind according to the word of God. The more we speak the word into our lives by reading it with our eyes, speaking it with our mouth, hearing it with our ears, it'll go down inside of our heart, and then that word will break up those rocks and make it so they're easy to get out. And when they show up, you and I just say, no, I speak the word, move over there, rock. And the Holy Spirit of God and Jesus pick them rocks up and get them right out of your life. Why? Because he made you a new creation. But you got to do the work of renewing your mind. Now, let's see what happened with the disciples. The disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered them and said, because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. You want to say it with me? It's been given to me to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It has. It's been given to you to know. What does that mean? That means that whenever there's a mystery to you or me, God makes it so that you and I get to see past it, and that mystery is revealed to us. Look at what Jesus said. Verse 10. Whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Now, I remember hearing this verse preached. And I remember thinking for years, what does it mean, whoever has? What does that mean, has? Has what? That was my question. Has what? Because whatever it is you're hasing, I want to has it because more is going to be given to me, whatever hasing is. Well, so what you always have to do when you're interpreting the Bible is you've got to take the verse right in the context of the scripture, of the chapter, of the setting, of the story. You got to take what we're talking about and leave the verse inside of the context of the story and then find out subject modifiers and say, wait a minute, what is Jesus talking about? And what he's talking about is the sower sowing the word down in our heart. Now, as soon as you're born again, your spirit is brought to life, and you can now see the word of God, understand the word of God in a way you've never been able to see and know and understand it before. You're able to understand it. Now watch this. So he says, whoever has the word sown in their heart, producing, to him, more will be given. Whoever does not have that, even what he has will be taken away. Dr. Lester Sumrall, one of the great giants of the faith, said most people never move past their first revelation of who God is. Most people never meet God for anything more than just their Savior. So, Pastor, how in the world do I keep what I have? Well, you're going to have to get a notebook. You're going to have to write some notes. You're going to have to get your phone out and open up to your notepad. Put some notes in it. You're going to have to get on your computer. Put up a Word document. Take some notes. Because if you ever write down the revelation that God gives you, the cares of the world, Jesus just said it, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire of other things will choke out the word. And when it begins to choke the word, you and I must begin to pull out that revelation and say, oh no, I'm not surrendering what I have to any enemy, to any fear, to any doubt, not one time, and not giving up an ounce, a drop, a speck of my faith in Jesus at all. I'm not going to do it. So what we see is, in God's way, we've got to hear the word. We've got to take a note about the word. We've got to take those notes and put them into a intellectual process of thinking, and then begin to speak those notes and those words out loud every single day. I want you to think about something. Somebody tell me, type it in, what is one of the verses that I talk to you about every single day on purpose? Somebody type one in. What is a verse? You might not know the reference, but you can say this, what the subject is. There are specific verses that I'm going to talk about every single day. Why? Because I'm going to get that word down inside of your heart, past that last callus of the spirit of religion that wants to destroy. I'm going to get it in there if you'll listen to it. Somebody type one in and come on here and say one, because you guys are great students. And if you're caught in the loop, caught in the lag, don't worry about it. Type it in when you get there. And most of all, thanks for being a part and being here. Richard Miller. Amen. The righteousness of God. I'm going to say a verse about the righteousness of God in absolutely every time we come here. What's another set of verses we talk about every time we come here? I pray you had a great birthday. Well, that's probably not one of them, but
he can't venture yet. He must be out celebrating.
Roger's not here, and maybe he is here, and I just didn't see it.
I haven't seen him.
Well, Roger is probably out eating donuts and cake with his children, and that's good. We love you, brother. Take care of his kids. So the righteousness of God is one of them. What's another set of verses that we talk about every time we come here? This quiet is going to get like Jeopardy. Dum, bum, 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 bum. Bum 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 ba da 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 da. Well, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower all the time. To him who has, more will be given. It's been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Every time you come here, you're going to hear me say at least once ten times that you and I are to be one with the Father. You're going to hear me say the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside our mortal body, giving us life. You're going to hear me say that every time. You're going to hear me say every time we come here, you are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. You're going to hear me say every time we come here, you've been made a king and a priest unto God. You're going to hear me say every time we come here, in a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, God is going to speak down inside of your heart. Why am I saying that to us every time we come here? Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But if you don't ever take that mystery and find a way to write it on a note and begin to speak it out loud, then all of a sudden you're going to realize, hold it, I'm going to miss out on this revelation that God's given us. Now, saving grace. Amen, brother. That's another good one. Why? Some of you are just a little resistant yet. Well, I'm not resistant. Well, yeah, you might be. But I'm not going to condemn you. I'm just going to say, don't be resistant. Embrace the truth. Now watch. Give me just a second here. Give me just a second. All right, you're going to have to probably give me 10 seconds. I got to see something. I do this sometimes, and I'm going to do it again right now. All right? Everybody, just be patient. Just hold on. Just hold. Just give me a second here. Holy Spirit, amen, sin. Keep putting them in. You guys are doing good. Why am I asking you this? Because it is given to you the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. It's been given to you to know. Now watch this. I got to stay the co-host. I got it. Now let me put my headset on. Just a second. Everything's all right. Everybody just be peaceful. There, now you can see me. Hold on just a second. You can see me before?
Mm-hmm.
All right, watch this. I'm doing this on purpose. All right, so now, am I showing up on the screen on my phone? No, not yet. Can anybody see me? I'm doing something very much on purpose here. Can you see me from this? Can you see me on my cell phone? This isn't showing up there. How do I make it show up? Well, because, watch this.
We just have to sign in as.
How about now?
Are you signed in on your
phone? Yeah.
Okay, and is your video turned on?
There. Anyways, what I'm going to do is like this. Watch this. What I want to do is show you this over here. You can't see it very good. See all these brown things on the wall? Sister Leanne made me a tree. Okay? And what these are verses of Scripture. I thought for sure that I would be able to get my screen.
Well, you don't. You have to turn your video on your phone, from your phone.
My video is on. I just tried and it didn't work, but don't worry about it.
So just turn your computer a little bit.
I can do that. Watch this.
Your phone for more than phone.
Now. So watch this. Sister Leanne just said it, so let me see if I can get everything to work right here. There you go. Is it working? All right, so it is working. Now, what I want you to see is each of those little rectangle things are verses of Scripture. Now, I don't know if it was my idea or hers. Was it mine or yours? It was your idea, wasn't it? What she did is she took verses of scripture that I was getting into my life. She put on this nice little deal and made me a nice tree here. It's what I call it. What do you call it? Pyramid? Foundation? The first verse is Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Well, at the point when she put this up here, that was one of those verses of scripture that I was diligently every day speaking and declaring. What was I doing? I was doing like Jesus said. I was getting that word down in my heart. That verse says, if you have ears to hear, then make those ears hear, because it's not just about listening. It's about hearing the revelation. Well, Isaiah 60 became so strong in me that it's like I said 59 and 60 and 61 and 55 and 45 and 48 and 41. We got verses all over in there that God has given to us. Why? Because to him who has revelation, more revelation will be given. But listen to this. I heard John Bevere say this on a short last night. I want everybody to listen to me. If you don't eat food for 18 hours, what does your body begin to say? Hey, dummy, we're starving. And you say, you ain't starving, you're an American. You got a little bit you can lose, Fluffy. And but what? Your body begins to say it. But listen to what he said. But if you don't feed your spirit spiritual food, please listen to me. This is very serious. Jesus said, to him who has revelation, more will be given. And he said, to him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Pastor, by what? Jesus is going to take it away? The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desire for other things is going to choke out the word you have. And then all of a sudden, you're standing there and somebody reads one of the verses that used to be a major revelation to you, and it doesn't even connect in your heart at all. What is that telling you? You've allowed some other force to begin to feed you that is not the word of God. Sometimes we have to pause and let the truth get down deep inside of our lives. See, the Apostle Paul said, be careful not to let these things slip. Do you remember where that is? I think it's in like Timothy. Well, there's only one way you're going to be able to be careful not to let these things slip, and that is you're going to have to make a determination. These things are not going to slip from my life. See, Jesus said, Hebrews 2:1, it's in Hebrews.
Therefore, we ought not to give even more earnest speech to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them go.
You are just highly anointed. And you have a very good search engine.
That's it.
Yeah, but you're still highly anointed because you went right to it. Hebrews 2:1. Therefore, we must give the most earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we allow them to drift away or let them slip. Now, I know when I say this, some people get offended. But it doesn't matter to me if you get offended. It really does matter if you get offended. But I don't know what else to do. I've got to tell you and show you what to do, even if you get upset at me. But it's like I don't make a lot of notes anymore in a notepad. I make all my notes right there on my phone. When I go to my notepad on my phone and I look at it, I've been using this notepad now since 2015, 14, somewhere in there I started, but I really didn't get active with it until 2016. But I have 7,000 notes in my notepad. And you might say, my goodness sakes alive, Pastor, how in the world would you ever keep it all organized? Well, I do a couple very important things. I have all the notes that God gives me and I can gather for every program. It's got a title and it's got today's date. And as Sister Leanne has the ability, or one of you, to make a verse list, I grab that verse list and I stick it in that note. Every time I make a note of some revelation that God has given me, I have a link I call 2023 Life Propelling Verses. 2023 Life Propelling Verses. What is that? It's revelation that God gives me of specific verses, and I'll just quick open up that link or open up that folder, click a new folder, and then hit the audio record, and I'll just record what it was he just told me and a scripture reference if it's there. And it's in that thread called 2023 Life Propelling Verses or Revelation. What am I doing right now? I am teaching you how to not let these things slip and to get this revelation down deep in your heart so that Jesus' words of, to him who has, more will be given. How many of you want greater revelation?
Amen.
Well, the only way you're going to get greater revelation is to hold on to what you already have. I want you to just lay hands on me, Pastor. That's not how revelation comes. We can lay hands on you for God to set you free, to bind limiting factors in your life, but I can't lay hands on you and cause something to happen to you so you don't have to study to show yourself approved. I can't do that. What are we doing? Well, we're just letting it soak in. We're letting it soak in. Now, wow. Man, you guys are tearing it up over here. Well, I did get it to work, Richard. And it seems to work with Zoom. But it doesn't work with YouTube or Facebook all by itself. My headset don't. But it will work with Zoom. Who knows? Do the old spirits try to come back? I have something going on I can't get rid of. I know I can't, and Jesus can, but lost in why he hasn't or won't, I don't know. That's a good question right now. That's a really good question. Let's look at Luke. Give me just a second here with Luke, and I'm going to deal with that. Must not be Luke. All right, let's go to Mark. Mark 4. Is that where it is? I want you to see this verse. Look at this verse. This is a great revelation verse right now. Mark 4:13. Mark 4:13. Write this down. Jesus said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How will you then understand all of the parables?" So what is he saying? This is the number one foundation parable of all of the Gospels, right here. The parable of the sower sowing the word, and it's actually the parable of the soil, if you ask me. I said that a few times, but I never heard anybody else saying it, so I quit saying it. And then I heard somebody say it a while ago, and I'm like, that's right, it is. It's the parable of the soil. Because you really only talk about the sower in a couple verses, but the rest of the whole chapter is about the soil. Watch. Jesus said, Mark 4:13, if you do not understand this parable, how are you going to understand any of the parables? Now, let's deal with the question that Brother Richard just put in there. All right? Hey, wait, we got to stop. Ready, everybody? Roger Oxley's here. Ready? Everybody sing. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Roger. And for those of you that's never heard it before, that was played on the bongos that was given to Brother Roger to Sister Leanne and I. Pretty cool. Bless you, Roger. Love you, man. I have your speaker and charger cord 6 feet so you can use it in your truck. You're awesome, brother. Thank you. Now, let's deal with this. Do the old spirits try to come back? I guarantee you they're coming back. Let's find it right here in this parable. So I'm going to go back to Matthew 13, and we're going to read it, all right? And then as we read the explanation Jesus gave, that very question the brother Richard just asked is going to come up. Watch. I'm in Matthew 13:13. Therefore, speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. Remember, every time he spoke in parables, there was two main things that was happening. Understanding for those who wanted it, and enough blindness that those who were not going to push in would not be held responsible for revelation that they weren't going to go after. Put it in a parable. And then the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and you will not understand. Seeing you will see and you will not perceive. Now watch why he said that happens. For the hearts of them, the people, have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing. Their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts, and turn so that I should heal them. It's not that Jesus didn't want to heal them. He's saying they have closed their eyes, plugged their ears, and when Jesus was talking, they were going, no, 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 I can't hear you. But really, you want to hear Jesus when he's talking, because you will be held accountable for this, what you got. You're going to be held accountable for that sunshine and anytime you saw the moon and the stars. I was listening to some of the Read the Words last night. Matter of fact, I listened to about 8 hours of Read the Word last night.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good.
Awesome.
And do you know that that crazy guy making the Read the Words was just as frustrated with the scientists in the Old Testament as he was reading the New Testament? I heard him, and I even resemble him. I'm in verse 16, Matthew 13, 16. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. Literally, what you could say is they choose to see. Your eyes choose to see. And your ears, for they choose to hear. Assuredly, I say to you, many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it. And to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. It wasn't for them. Hebrews, the last verse of Hebrews 11 says, they were not going to be made perfect without you and I being there. It's what Brother Dutch teaches us of the synergy of the ages. We stand on the shoulders of those before us. They stood on the shoulders of them before them and on our shoulders. And there's a whole lot of shouldering, and we're going to be a mighty, powerful, powering edifice to God Almighty when we do that. Now watch. Here comes the explanation. Therefore, hear the explanation of the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, look at what it says, then the wicked one comes and snatches it away. What was sown in his heart. This is he who received the word by the wayside. Well, Brother Richard just said, does the old sin try to come back? How do you say that? Hold on. Do the old spirits try to come back? Yeah. Now, if you had a demon and cast out, Jesus said that demon's going to go out, find seven more worse than it, and come back and see if you've put anything inside your house to fill your house. That's why when you cast the demon out, you make sure they're born again, and you make sure they're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you do everything in your power to get them praying in their heavenly prayer language. Why? Because you want that house filled with God Almighty, so that they're not just going to be, that demon going to come back and try to get in and bring seven of them with them. Well, look at what it says. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, that's why you can write a question in the comments. Sometimes I'll stop and answer them right then. Other times I can see that's going to be in the message, and I'll just keep teaching. And in the message, the question will be answered. I want to do this specifically tonight. Hold on. I got the blue arrow. I got to get down here where I can see it. Now watch. Why does the wicked one come back? Because when faith, which is the word of God, gets a seed planted, now that faith will produce a huge tree that will help many other people. Do you want to see that? Hold your place in Matthew. Go with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. No, that's not it. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Look at what it says. Mark 11, 22. Have faith in God, or have the God kind of faith. Assuredly, I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Everyone, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive another, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now, I have just read to you the verses that were not dealing with what I was going to talk about. However, this is a very good set of verses, all right? Now, here's what I'm trying to say. When the word takes root, it produces faith, all right? And the only way for that faith to grow is for it to be able to get its roots in the soil of your heart. Well, everybody knows that if you're going to have a house plant, you're going to have to keep it cultivated, and you're going to have to keep it watered, and you're going to have to keep some sunshine on it. Otherwise, it ain't going to live. You can go out here to this wheat field, and he's got to get that ground just right when he plants the seed. And then he's got to have sunshine from God and water from God, and the soil comes up and the rocks out, and it all works together to produce a harvest. Jesus is saying to them, don't let, or whatever the word is you have in your heart, speak to that mountain to be removed. Now, I don't know what Brother Richard is talking about, and it's not up to you and I to know what he's talking about, because it doesn't matter what any of us are dealing with. Is there's one answer to get it solved, and that's faith and the word of God. So Jesus said right here that when your soil is hard, can't get in the ground. But when the soil is worked up, soft, it'll produce 30, 60, and 100 fold. Let's read him. Verse 23, he who received the seed on good ground is he who hears the word, understands the word, who indeed bears and produces some 100, some 60, and some 30 fold. Well, how are you going to get the revelation of the word except to speak the word so that it'll get down in your heart? You see it with your eyes, you hear it with your ears, you speak it with your mouth, it goes down inside of your life. And when it gets down inside of your life, it produces a huge tree that will begin to bring safety to many other people. There's the verse I was trying to get to. Where's the verse about the sycamine tree? Or the mustard seed. You have faith as a grain of mustard seed. I thought that. Well, it is here. It's Mark 4. Mark 4:31-32. Another parable he put forth, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in the field, which indeed is the least of the seeds. But when it is sowed, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest inside the branches. What is he telling you? Get the word, get it down in your heart, and then speak it till it becomes the most bold revelation you have ever had. Let's use a common situation that many people fight. And that would be smoking cigarettes, right? Now, you're not ever going to hear me say, quit smoking, unless you ask me about the health benefits. If you're going to talk to me about health benefits, then I'm going to tell you to get off the fat, greasy food. And I'm going to tell you, quit drinking pop. And I'm going to tell you that water was the first liquid God made. He did make Dr. Pepper, but his first one was water. I mean, only God would make Dr. Pepper. 21 flavors. I mean, come on. Nobody else can boast about that but Dr. Pepper. Dr. Pepper.
I knew you were smart. I just didn't realize that you understood Dr. Pepper that well.
Today is my dear friend Miracle Man's birthday. He turned 34 today.
Wow. The doctor, happy birthday, Rivers.
Happy birthday, Rivers. The doctor told his mama he'd never live past 2. And he not only lived past 2, he's got a blog talk radio show he does every day, or 5 days a week. And he got a degree in broadcasting. His desire is to be an ESPN sports announcer, and he's blind in his eyes. But don't tell him he can't do something, because he's going to go do it. But anyways, why did I bring up Rivers? I got to stay focused here. Anyways,
Dr. Pepper.
Rivers and I, or Miracle Man and I, go back and forth. He's the Coke man. I'm a Dr. Pepper guy. And we've been at it ever since his Blog Talk radio show started. And he doesn't have nothing he can say. Dr. Pepper has 21 flavors. And if you're really smart, you'll add a couple more to it, like some extra cherry and some extra vanilla when it comes right there. And if you really want to go take your Dr. Pepper to a whole new level, add some root beer to it.
Cream soda.
And now you've got 37 flavors. How do we get on Dr. Pepper? Anyways, Jesus said, if you take a little tiny faith that's just like a mustard seed, and you get it planted in the soil of your heart, and then you don't get off that revelation until you get it down deep inside of you, that revelation will become like a tree that'll feed many people and take care of many people. Now, so we're going to talk about smoking. There's a lot of people, it's like, Pastor, I've been to do that for a long, long, long time, and I just can't get free from it. Well, let me encourage you. You are exactly right. You can't get free of it, and you probably never will in your own strength. Well, I thought you would encourage me. How about good old Southern sweet tea with lots of sugar? Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. The tea is marching up. I love it. People who drink unsweet tea. Are you serious? What do you got? Like drink colored water or something? I'm going to get this out. We're not going to miss this point in faith.
Well, you guys, quit distracting him.
Pastor, I didn't want you to say I'm not going to get rid of it in my own strength. You're going to get rid of it very easy if you'll take Jesus' strength. Do you know how hard that is to do, Pastor? I know, because you and I were trained, we got to do it ourselves. Make a decision. What's wrong with you, boy? Make a decision and stick to it. Can't you stick to nothing? Those are not the words of the Father. Those are the words of an earthly father. The words of our Father is, I have made you a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Get that in your mind. Get it in your body. Get it in your spirit. Let that be the only thing you say every day, all day long, for however long it takes, until all of a sudden you get the revelation, hold it, God moved in my spirit, soul, and body and made me brand new. And that's all I got to do is hold on to, I've been made new. Cultivate around it. Get your little rake and hoe out, hoe around it. Get your sprinkler jugging. Put some water on it, and make sure all the weeds are pulled. What are you doing? You're taking that revelation. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. I don't have to be bound by this stuff anymore. See, what religion says is, you didn't do it this time, did you? Huh? Didn't do it this time either, did you? See, that's what the enemy wants to do to you. He's a liar. You did do it. Jesus did it. Well, I heard that sugar, hardest addiction to be delivered from. Sugar is. You know, Dr. Pepper, and sweet tea, sugar.
Hot fudge.
Hot fudge Sunday. Sugar. Now see what Jesus said is get that seed of the word. The seed is the word. Look at Mark 4. Mark 4. Watch this. It doesn't matter what any of you are dealing with. And you could be dealing with. Let me, everybody pause for a minute. I command you in Jesus' name, don't say anything right now when I say this, okay? Just keep your comments to yourself, please. But we might have someone that's bound by child pornography listening to us tonight. Could very well be. Right? But don't throw anything at me. That's not more difficult than drinking or smoking, because sin is sin. Bondage is bondage. When you read Revelation, it says the liar, the cheater, the thief, the effeminate, the fearful, and the unbelieving are all going to be right beside them, beside each other in hell. See, what it comes down to is what have we been trained to say our whole life? Now, I keep hearing this verse, so I'm going to go there. Ready? I might be just a little tired. Where was we going? It is seed. Yes, it's coming back to me right now. Okay, but it's a verse I'm dealing with. Oh, Second Timothy chapter 3. There we go. Second Timothy chapter 3. See, guys, let me show you something. The way you win these battles is you get a Bible that looks like this. See all my note markers in there? Those are all the places of verses I'm dealing with right now, all of them. Well, Pastor, you're dealing with a lot. I saw Brother Copeland do that, and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do what Brother Copeland did, because it works for Kenneth Copeland. It works for me. I'm going to get this one set of verses in my life no matter what. And when I come to my Bible, I want my little blue marker there so I can just open up to that page and read those verses out loud again, because I'm getting those verses in my heart. I have become a good gardener, and I am getting these verses placed in my heart. Now watch. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1 through verse number 9. Know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You ready? Verse 5, having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. And then the Holy Spirit through Paul said, from such turn away. Now, I want you to get something. verses 1 through 5 is Paul, by the Holy Spirit, teaching Timothy how to deal with the spirit that's going to be in his church, because Timothy was the pastor of Ephesus. Ephesus was a very perverse town, like naked people, naked statues, naked everything everywhere. The temple of Diana was there, and one of the greatest places any child could reach in the city of Ephesus was that when they became a teenager, they would be asked to become a temple whore, and they would go in and have sex right on the altar of the temple with the people bringing their offering in, and it was the greatest place that their daughters and sons could be. This is the city that Timothy's preaching in, and this is the letter where Paul's teaching him how to take care of the people. These are people in Timothy's church that he's dealing with. These words aren't about the world having a form of godliness and denying the power thereof. Now remember, the power of life and death is in your tongue. Let's just use my example I'm talking about smoking. Excuse me. How many times have you said, it doesn't matter, no matter how hard I try, I just can't get free from this? Jesus said, excuse me, that is not what Jesus said.
That's much too.
Thank you. Jesus said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Did he take the stripes for every bit of bondage?
Yes.
Then it doesn't matter what your bondage is. You could be a serial killer. And Jesus took the whipping so you could be free. Dr. James Dobson went to prison and got the serial killer murderer, son of Sam, born again, filled with the Holy Spirit before he was executed. And Dr. James Dobson was there with him the day that he got executed. And as a psychologist, went in to study him, and so he could learn something and help other people. But see, if you live your life saying, it doesn't matter what I do, I can't get free, well then guess whose words are more powerful than the word of God? Your words are more powerful than anybody else's words about you. See, Jesus is the one that said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But the Holy Spirit is the one who said through Paul to Timothy, these people have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. I know a whole lot of people who are in the church who sin every day in word, thought, and deed and don't think a thing about it. Why? Because the preacher has stood up in the pulpit and said, it's no big deal if you sin. God understands. Just come back to him again and say, please forgive me. And he will always forgive you. And he will never get tired of forgiving you, because don't you know he loves the prodigal when the prodigal returns. Excuse me. But the story of the prodigal wasn't about the prodigal returning. The story of the prodigal was about, would you please see your position as a child, as a son of this kingdom, and you'll never go wander around again. That's what the father said to the older son and the younger son. So what are the words you've been saying? I've tried to quit smoking for the last 20 years, and it don't matter how hard I try, I throw them things out the window, and I put them underneath my tires. I buy a set and rip them up, and I throw them out into the fire at night, and I get angry and say I never will do it, and I go do it again. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't matter how hard you try if you're trying to be delivered in your own strength. Because Jesus is like, you can't bear that. I had to. And I did take my righteousness and use it to live above that sin and wickedness. I'm going to say it again. Write it down. Go back tonight when the program is finished and make one of those 1 minute shorts about what I'm just getting ready to say and share it on your Facebook page or YouTube, wherever, Instagram, and get this 1 minute I'm getting ready to say. It doesn't matter what you're bound by. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. But if you're trying to be free in your own strength, it's not going to work. Because your own strength doesn't set you free, release you from the spiritual bands of wickedness, release you from the grip of the enemy or that spirit. You can't in your own strength release that. So since the only place you can release it is the Word of God and the blood of Jesus and the powers of the Holy Spirit, you've got to come to God and say, I thank you for the blood. I thank you for your righteousness. I thank you for the abundance of grace. I stand in it today. I receive it today. I shout glory. I am set free right now. Yeah, but Pastor, what do I do when it shows up again? Say the same thing. I am a new creation. That is not me. It's just a picture of what the enemy wants me to think I am and I ain't. Somebody ought to shout glory, hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. I have been set free.
Amen, Mary. We love you. You can't be missing, Mary. We miss you.
I've been aging like fine wine.
So, now, I've heard a lot of people say a lot of things about a lot of things. You can, I'm going to stick with smoking. You can go buy your hard candy and suck on that. You can buy mint or cinnamon gum and chew on that. And you can do all of these human things to be free. And really what you got to do to be free is get the Word of God down in your heart so that your heart, the words that you've said out of your mouth, are now pushed out of your heart, and your heart is filled with the Word of God. Audrey Van Gessel, welcome. Glory to God, I'm set free. Now watch. People are bound by all kinds of stuff. And it doesn't matter what it is, because bondage is bondage. And yours might be one thing and somebody else's another. And mine is a different thing. I had to fight the spirit of religion. This right here, having a form of godliness and denying the power. I had to fight that. I have come to the understanding that people that are just dirty dog sinners have a whole lot easier job, whole lot easier time just receiving the wonderful things of God than somebody who grew up in the church. Because we've been around church and good people and good living people and right living people and right talk. We've been around it. And it's real easy to have a form of godliness and not even have it in your life. And if you out of your mouth have said over and over and over again, it doesn't matter what I do, I can't get free. I have tried and tried, Pastor, and I just can't get free. Well, the first thing we got to do is get you to say, whom the Son sets free is free indeed, and I am free. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Jesus made me into his righteousness. He did not impute my sin against me, but he imputed to me righteousness so that I could live above sin. The Apostle Paul said, should I continue in sin that grace abound? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But see, that's why you got to get this notebook out and you got to write a verse on there. And you got to go back and pick the notebook up and then write underneath of it the date and time every time you say them verses again. Bring yourself into an accountability to begin to live in this word to the degree that the word absolutely transforms you into a different person. The parable of the sower. To him who has revelation, that means it came, you grabbed it, however you do it, you wrote it down, you concealed it, you got it, you speak it, you declare it, you proclaim it. To him who has revelation, more revelation will be given. So if you want more revelation in your life, you got to grab a hold of what we're giving you now, and you got to get it established in your life. Some people say, well, Pastor, how long do I have to do this before it actually works? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, the first time you say it, it worked. But our mouths have filled our heart with witchcraft and Eastern religion and mysticism and wives tales and what my mama said and my grandma said and Uncle Charlie and Brother Ned down the street, and all of that is what is filling our lives rather than the Word of God. So you and I have got to speak the Word out loud, read it with our eyes, speak it with our mouth, hear it with our ears. It goes down in our heart. When you do it enough, that word will push out the other words until the only word that's left in your heart is the Word of God. And when that word takes root out of just mere obedience, when that word takes root, it begins to produce a harvest of 2%, of 7%. Fight. Keep it in. 9%. It's getting better. You're starting to see the benefit of it. And then 11%. And then 18%. Took a big jump. And then, woo, back to 11%. What happened? You were starting to really get faith going on that. And the enemy shot them fiery darts and shot them fiery darts. Pictures of what he tried to make you before Christ. And you got to just say, that's just a picture of what you want me to think I am, and I ain't that. I am a new creation. And picture yourself just being made brand new with Jesus. Picture Jesus wrapping the robes of righteousness around your shoulder, putting on you the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation. Just picture Jesus wrapping you up in himself, giving you his signet ring and saying, you are my child. You are an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I've made you a king and a priest unto my God. Does it really work, Pastor? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it really works. It really works. But here's the problem. You and I have got to work it in order for it to work. Sister Gloria Copeland, one of the greatest women of faith of our day, said, here's the most amazing thing about faith. It works. But you've got to work it to make it work. Let's go get a very good set of verses. Wait, let's read verse 7, 2 Timothy 3:7. Always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, that was one of them verses that I didn't want to hear. Always learning something new, but never able to actually come to the knowledge of the truth. Well, how do you know when you come to the knowledge of the truth, Pastor? You begin to put it into practice. You learn that tithing is how we worship God, and you tithe. You learn that worship is the greatest act following God you can have, and so you worship. We understand that you got to get your nose in the book, and you got to incline your ear under the pages of this book, and so you do it. Yeah, amen, Richard. Yeah. I remember, who knows how many times I've texted Dr. Barclay and said, Pastor, when does this stuff start breaking loose? When does this break loose? He said, when you get your heart filled with the Word of God. Did I tell you where we're going next? Did I give you a verse?
Haven't given me one since I got back in here.
Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1. Brother Richard, am I helping you? Oh yeah, I see the praise hands. I apologize that I didn't wash my arms before the service came on. I just picked my arm up and like, geez, I got dirty arms. I can't even believe I would even come in here without like washing my arms.
We didn't see it.
But I had the air hose blow off right before I got home, so I had to fix it. Psalm chapter 1, look at this. Blessed is the man who walks in the counsel of the Let's try it again. This time we're actually going to read what's on the page of the Bible. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the path of the sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf will not wither, and whatsoever he does will prosper. Now, here's how that sounds. Here comes the fiery dart. But you got your shield of faith up. You got to have sound effects in order for it to work right. Fiery dart is a picture of some point in your life when the enemy, by the barrage of his arrows, had caused you to submit under the control of what that fiery dart was. That's you smoking. Who, in their right mind, would pay $5 for a little package this big and then take a match and light it and watch it burn and see the smoke rise? This doesn't make sense. And how much does a carton of cigarettes cost now? $50? They're $5 a pack, so there's 10 in a carton, so that'd be $50. That's just the same as having the bank give you a $50 bill and going home and lighting a match to it. Just watching the burn.
$10 a pack and $100 a carton. Hey, you're talking about years of those, honey. Get on with the now time.
So, I've never smoked, so I don't know. But here's the point of it. The dart comes that says you're still bound. That's just a picture of something that the enemy wants you to be bound by, and you may have been bound by, but now you're free. So let's use gambling, going to the casino. Somebody's like, is that wrong, Pastor? Listen, it's a fiery dart of the enemy to get you to believe there's an answer in there financially outside of tithing and giving. What are you doing? You're hoping on chance. Oh, no, I'm not, Pastor. I pray to God that that jackpot comes to me every time I come there. I know. And you're praying to God that he will help you by chance win. It isn't going to work. God, if God wants you to win at the casino, God's going to cause the casino guy to call you in the middle of the night and say, hey, guess what I got for you? Wait, that's not a fairy tale. That actually happened to somebody that knows Dr. Winston. The guy's sleeping. He's a pastor of a church, sleeping on Saturday night. The phone rings. He answers the phone like, who's this? And the guy goes, I am in bad shape. I'm in Las Vegas. I need you to get God off my back. I got to give you my house. And the pastor's like, I don't know who this guy is. Hung up on him. And thought, well, that was weird. 2 weeks later, phone rings, same time of night, and it's the same frantic man. He said, sir, do not hang up on me. God is on me, and I must give you my house in order to live, and I don't want to die. He's like, who are you? He goes, I am in Las Vegas, and I'm doing this. And God said, I'm going to give you my house. So tomorrow, call this number back and set up an appointment so I can do it. He didn't know the guy. The next day he goes, finds a piece of property. The gates open up, long 150-yard driveway up to a very, very, very beautiful house. You know what he said? First thing he said to the guy, how much does the water bill cost for that fountain inside the door? And how much was that house worth? No, no, that's what his house was worth.
Oh.
It was worth like $8 million. His house was worth millions. Well, Pastor, how in the world did the guy get his number? God can give anybody a number when he wants to give him a number. And when there's an angel standing in the room saying, you call this guy, you're going to get yourself busy and do it. Guy's at a casino and gives this preacher his house, and his house is worth about $250,000. And they swapped houses, and the man moved in, never heard another word from him, and he's living in a multi-million-dollar house. So God can use gambling, but not you there doing it. Somebody totally missed it. But what? You ain't never going to hear me condemn anybody about anything. I'm trying to get pictures that people have in their mind. Maybe you're an alcoholic and you like to be at the bar and partying and dancing and having a big time. There's nothing wrong with partying. There's nothing wrong with dancing. There is something wrong with partying and dancing with somebody besides your mate and doing something that ain't going to be godly. I love to party, but I'm not going to go to hell. I had one of the greatest New Year's parties there ever was in my little city. People started showing up like, what's going on in here? We can hear you all over the city. We were having a Euchre championship. It was a blast.
And there was no alcohol.
And there was no alcohol, drugs, and nobody went home with somebody else's wife. What? Duck on this point and I got to get it out. Well, I'll read it out of the Bible. Maybe that'll help me. Ephesians chapter 6. I want you to get this picture. Because you and I are getting ready to go to a whole new level in God at the community of faith. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of God. Don't be strong in the bondage. Be strong in the Lord. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the trickery of the devil. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual wickedness in high places, in the heavenly places. But if you read in Ephesians over in another spot, Jesus said that we have already been set free. He has already crushed all principality, all power, all might, all dominion. Jesus is above it. Verse 13. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. It's the shield of faith. Now watch. What's faith? That picture is not me. Here comes the fiery dart. It will be something that the enemy had you convinced once that you were. And he'll shoot you with that fiery dart. And it'll hit. It'll be a thought. It's coming from out here. It's not coming from in here. It's a fiery dart coming at you. It is not the nature of you coming out of you. If you've been born again, you are a new creation. So what do you say when that fiery dart comes at you? In the name of Jesus, by the blood of Jesus, by the righteousness of Almighty God, that's just a picture, and that is not who I am. Think about it. He did not impute your sins against you. And he did impute righteousness to you. So you ain't what you was, and you really wasn't that in the real place. That was just what the enemy tried to get you to believe you were. Pastor, I acted like it for 30 years. I know, but guess what? Have you ever met somebody who says to you, man, I used to smoke 2 or 3 packs a day, and you look at them like, what? I can't even believe you would have ever even smoked a cigarette. Why? Because they're a new creation, and that old person had passed away, and you're now become new. John Wayner, welcome, love. Welcome, love. Just so everybody knows, I'm not calling John Wayner my love. I didn't. We love you, John Wayner. See, wait a minute. Get this picture. You've been made new. Fight the enemy from the righteousness of God. Yeah, but Pastor, don't you realize those things are coming at me? But they come at me. They come at me every day. But I am who I am. Say it, I'm a new creation. I'm in the trucking world. You know how much perversion is in the trucking world? Like everywhere. But it don't have an effect on you. Why? That's not who I am. They are, but most of them probably ain't either. They've just accepted that picture that the enemy's trying to shoot you with. Now, by a show of hands or somebody saying that was me, every one of us that were born again at an early age, simply as a child, somehow indicate, yeah, I was born again very early, at a very early age. Anybody besides me? I mean, I grew up in a pastor's house. I probably prayed to be born again and for Jesus to forgive me, who knows, 50 times at my mom and dad's bed just because I went to sleep and couldn't sleep because I did wrong. So I went down to the bedroom and I need to pray. And they're like, pray, Jesus will love you. He forgives you. I'm the most saved man you'll ever meet. Maybe your deal is cussing. You don't even know why you started. If you follow it all the way back, it was probably a peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Right? Why do most people start smoking or drinking? Usually peer pressure. I tell people my story all the time about smoking. My good friend Steve Miller, he lived up the road, and his big brother Ken's one of our friends here, and Ken's a powerful man of God today. But then he was just, you know, it was the 70s, man. He was just crazy as everybody else, you know. But he had a Rambler Rebel that would just dig the dirt, and that, I don't know what he had in it for an engine, but that thing would just throw dirt forever. He was just amazing. And he built this little wood box on the floor of his, on the hump, you know, the drive shaft hump in the old cars. And in that box, you could put a whole carton of cigarettes empty, you know, take them out of the package and just lay them in there. And so Steve's like, let's smoke a cigarette. So he gets the cigarette out, and I smoke a cigarette. My mom and dad are going to smell it like that. So I got to go in and get the garbage and bring it out. We got to stand by that. And then we better smoke. I'm a kid, and I'm thinking all this. We better smoke the cigarette first, and then we can go back and do the garbage, and at least we'll smell like garbage. But I was always setting things on fire. And so, anyways, I never smoked. And so I'm like, how you smoke? And Steve's like, well, you just light it, and then you take a big breathe in, and then you blow it out your nose.
Oh,
well, I've never done anything like that in my life, you know. And God bless Brother Ken Miller. He smoked Pall Mall Strong's No Filters. So Steve lights it and does it, and then I light it, and I turn green, yellow, purple, blue, orange. I was the color of the rainbow, man. I'm like, whoa, Jesus, I don't ever have to do this another day of my life, and never have. God fixed me early on that situation. But see, you know what the enemy does? He wants to shoot you with that dart, saying, that's who you are. And you have to say, that is not who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus because he imputed it to me. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. I have received the free gift of righteousness. I'm reigning in Jesus, and Jesus is in me, and he's above all principality, all power, all might, all dominion, all strength, and you are under my foot. Let me crush your head. See, all of a sudden, your mind is completely off of the fiery dart. Your mind is on conquer. And so you say, not only that, but everybody I've ever known bound by that same thing, they're set free by the blood of Jesus, because I stand here as an intercessor right now for them. Woo! Pastor, do you really say that? Yes. Yes. There's a bunch of people in my life I was supposed to help find Jesus. And spirit of religion, yeah, confusion and frustration, and I once slipped and said that or did that, and you know, it's that barrage of the fiery darts. Mm-hmm. As soon as you just redefine those fiery darts as fiery darts on the outside rather than desires coming up on the inside, then the battle goes away, because that's just the enemy shooting at me. That's not who I am. I am a new creation. I don't have to try to be. I received Jesus, and he made me that. And he imputed to me his righteousness. Let's find that verse, and then we're going to have to be done, because look what time it is. Run around the desk. Well, John, I got Ripley here. I got the plan out there. I got a whole bunch of cords, and it's like a typical studio. Don't get up and run around. You'll knock something over. Where did we say we were going?
We didn't.
I said it. I know
we
I did.
Said, let's find that verse.
We found the verse. Does anybody know what verse we're finding? The verse about righteousness being imputed to us. Hey, watch out, lady. You quit doing that. Isn't that something? Well, I can see I've got to study that verse some more because it's not right on the tip of my tongue. There it is. Romans 4. Chapter 4, verse 5 and 6. Yeah, Roman's still with us. Brother John's talking about our cat. Yeah, he's still with us. Romans 4, 5 and 6. But to him who does not work, but believes on him, capital him, who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. So just the very fact you believe in God's doing the work, it's counted to you for righteousness. Just as David also describes the blessedness of the man to whom God imputes righteousness apart from works. It's not about what you do. It's about God has imputed righteousness to you. Somebody ought to shout glory. Hallelujah. Verse 11. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had while he was still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe, though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. I know, Richard. Hallelujah. Now, I've got it underlined, and now I've got it circled. And now I'm going to connect the two circles, and I'm going to write in the side, imputed righteousness. Some of you, you're like, man, this is good. It's coming, Pastor. Just keep going. Don't stop now. No, it'd be good to go back and start this all over again, like I've been saying to you. Turn this video back on tonight and set a timestamp for us at the beginning of the message, when you see us hold our Bible up, put a timestamp in. So the next time you come back, you just click on that timestamp and you start right at the beginning of this message. Why? Because God's laying it out piece by piece, by step, by piece, by step, by piece, by step. If you find a part that is like, man, that's powerful, everybody else needs to hear it, make one of them short videos. Put the link of this program right in that video. Kick it up on your social media. Why? Because we got to get this message to other people. We got to get this message to them. God has imputed righteousness to you. You didn't deserve it. You didn't work for it. You just said, I believe on you, my Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says, well, then you shall be saved. And now you're saved. And he has just, see, it's coming all over me as soon as I say it. He has just imputed righteousness to you. Man, Pastor, I want to feel it like you. Well, here's how you're going to get that. You're going to write these two verses out. Or three, four, five, Romans 4. Verse 5, 6, and 11. Write those three verses out. And then just live in those three verses. Pastor, if I did all the verses that I believe I should do that you've given me, that's going to be about 25 or 30 of them. Yep. And that's going to create a foundation underneath of you. When I started, I put them on a little card like this. And I had about 8 of them. And I'd read one while I was driving, and I'd put it in the back. And I'd stick it back in hook a few more gears, pass a car, and I'd pull out the second one, and I'd read it. And I'd put it in the back, put it back in my pocket, pass a car, stop at a sign, make a right turn, pull out the next one, and I'd read it. And I'd put it in the back, and I'd stick it back in my pocket. And I did it over and over and over again until that word got way down past all the crusty religion and the wives' tales and the fairy tales and the demonic spirits of religion, and it got past all of that garbage and got down in there and fixed the inside of me. I'm not a special case. I'm not God's special child necessarily, except that all of us are special to our Father.
Amen.
We just got real serious about the Word of God. There were days when Sister Leanne and I, since we moved here, have spent, who knows, 3-4 hours in the day speaking the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
Why? We were determined to crush the enemy in our life and not let it be the powerful force. We are a new creation. Old things have passed away, and all things have become new. That is the only picture that I have to receive any longer. Every bit of the rest of that, it's under the blood. It's been washed away. It's been thrown into the sea of his forgetfulness. So since he forgot your sin, then guess what that means you need to do? Be like your Father and forget your sin. You want to say it with me? I am like my Father. I forget any sin I've ever done. I know people that want to brag about their sin. Why? Because it makes them feel good. I don't know why you want to brag about sin. You actually want to live the life of the Father of lies? No, you don't. Not a single person here. No, you don't want that. I don't know, Pastor. What is it in me that wants to brag about it? Well, I'm not sure, but the Holy Spirit will tell you. And you know what else he'll tell you? Don't do that anymore. Let's brag on Jesus' righteousness. Amen? Let's brag on whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Let's brag on out of my belly will flow rivers of living water that will always keep me well watered in every part of my life. And then the Bible says he spoke this of the Holy Spirit who would be poured out upon them. And he's talking about the rivers of the Holy Spirit flowing up out of your innermost being. And that's your heavenly prayer language. Change the image. To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. To him who has revelation, more will be given. Get your notepad out. Get your notepad out. This is tonight's note. Right. Thank you. And then write it down. And then live in it. Pull your phone out and watch a stupid reel. That reel's not going to get you to heaven. But speaking this verse of the Word of God will get you to heaven. And the more you and I let the distractions of this world keep us from speaking the Word, the quieter the Word gets. And the more hungry our spirit gets. The more we saturate ourselves with the Word of God, the more that everybody coming around is like, man, there's something about you. I want what you have. What do you have? You have righteousness imputed to you. You are a new creation imputed to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, what's our closing verse, Father? I got so many of them, but I'm going to give you the closing verse, Romans 8:11. Romans 8:11 as our closing verse. In the New King James, it reads, "But if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you." So since He does live in you, change the "but if" to "since." Since the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Man, I got the heat again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Lift your hands and just receive this. Yeah. Put your hands out like this. And I'm going to put my hand out like this. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare over your life right now that you are free, that you have been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Be anointed. Be blessed by the laying on of hands, by the word of faith, by the prayer of faith. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. One person said, "Pastor, I have a hard time understanding imputed righteousness to me." Well, just think of it this way. Jesus came to make His dwelling inside of you. That means righteousness Himself now lives in you. Don't have any trouble being righteous when righteousness Himself lives in you. You know, Pastor, that stuff still comes at me. That's a picture of what you used to be. It ain't you. And really, it never was you. It's something the enemy was trying to force you to become. And it's not who you are. You are a child of God. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, how does the time fly by so fast? I mean, 2 hours have just cruised right on by. Do you realize that?
Mm-hmm.
Let's receive our communion elements together. Give me just a second here. Thank you, Lord. Amen, Richard. Here we go. I love this message. I could preach it every night somewhere. Because every time I preach it, people get free. That's awesome. Finally have a message that helps to get free. I love it. There we go. Participants can now see your screen. Now, we begin with the verses of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For those of you that are with us at home, and you might say, "Pastor, I'm really enjoying this. I would like to start leading my family in communion." That's the very next thing that will automatically begin to happen as you do this. On our website, samueljcottle.com, you will find a message. You'll find a link to the communion service. You can go right on there. It's written right out. So all you got to do is just read it right off the page, and you can lead your family in it right at home, just like we do right here. And the Bible says, "Train a child when he's young, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Teach him who Jesus is. Teach him who Jesus wants to be in their life. When they're young, they'll automatically receive it. And that's when you want to get the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working in their life. And both of my kids, before they was ever 5 years old, were born again and actually praying in the Spirit. Why? It's no big deal to them when they're a child. They automatically receive the things of God. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. We'll read the verses. Pray the prayer of salvation. You will be right with God. If you're still here, you're already right with God. But you need to make a powerful confession of your faith. Here we go. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. His redemptive work. Here's the process. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Verse 31. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. Love, God's love, has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is right now the head, so are we the body of Christ on this earth. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment, the trauma that goes with it. There is no fear in God's perfect love. Pray the prayer of salvation with me right now. Not just saying words, but these words ring true in your heart as we lead you in this prayer. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus
to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day.
According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen, and amen. Sorry about that mess up with the screen. Just got to be careful where you're letting your fingers be and all of them clicking. Now, welcome to the family of God. What just happened to me, Pastor? You went from darkness to light. You went from fear, because sin produces fear, because you're ready for damnation. You went from fear to faith. Why? Because Jesus came in with his blood and washed away all sin. And now he made you the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have just come and made their abode on the inside of you. How wonderful is that? I'd say, Pastor, I don't even know anything about this. I know. Stick with us. My email address is right there. Send me an email. I'll send you some teachings, some great teachings that will help you get established in the things of God and cause you to walk in great strength and in great victory in your Christian life. Why? Because that's the important part. You've got to have a group of believers that's connected to the body so that you can get the life force inside of you. If you cut your finger off today, nobody's going to cut their finger off. That finger only has so long to be able to get put back on, and the flesh is going to die, that it's going to die, and it's not going to be able to receive the nutrients from the whole body that it needs. And the day we live, you can get your finger put back on. As long as you got the finger and you can get to the doctor soon enough, they can put that finger back on and you wouldn't hardly even know it was ever even cut off. It's amazing. That's how it is with the body of Christ. You found us. Stick with us. And we'll help you walk with God every day. Click like, subscribe, and hit the bell. We don't need the numbers. We need you to be connected. Numbers don't mean anything to us, except we shout glory that we got more people in agreement from around the world, and we've actually reached you, and you're beginning to have faith. It's a large number of people out there. I think it's 1,900 hours a month of our stuff is being viewed. Somewhere right now, 2,900. That's a pretty substantial amount of time. And whoever you are, wherever you are, we're glad to have you with us. And honestly, if you send me an email, I will answer you. If you have sent me an email and I didn't answer you, then that means it didn't come across my page good enough for me to see it. Send it again and check in my spam and all the rest of that. But I'm going to tell you, in the day we live, folks, don't be offended at an app, whatever you do. Send it again, because who knows what the reason why it doesn't get through. You just don't ever. And most of what's most importantly is just keep trying until we make that connection, because we want to be connected and help you walk with God in Jesus Christ. You ready? Everybody that's just prayed that prayer, you are now ready to receive communion. So I would encourage you, grab your phone, run out to the kitchen, get you some bread and water, bread and grape juice, and let's receive the communion elements together today. Wait. Here's the principle. This is Jesus' broken body. If you're born again, you're a part of the body of Christ. So if communion is being served, you're supposed to be welcome to receive it. Here we go. Pray this with me. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread, representing your broken body, and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord, and by your stripes I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body. In my mind, in my will, and in my emotion. There is nothing missing and nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive the bread. Thank you, Lord, for your body that was broken for me. Now, we lift up the cup of blessing. Pray this with me. Now I bless this fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your blood shed to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. We receive your blessing. Sing it with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sister Phyllis, read us some closing verses.
And you're not partial. I can go straight to June, and you won't complain, huh?
I'm about to give you another set of verses out of Hebrews, but I don't have it all ready yet, so just keep
all right
at it.
All right. Well, I enjoy this, so thank you very much. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And the Son of God, but others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you in joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, in glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. Amen. And of course, I like to brag about Jesus.
Amen.
Revelation 1, 5, and 6. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over kings of the earth. To him who loves us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And let me tell you, the ladies, Jesus had been so good to me. And my son today was breathing deep, and he says he feels than he has in years. And he was breathing so good. And let me tell you, that kidney that they took out of him yesterday, it's supposed to be about 5 ounces. Big enough you can barely hold, you know, that it'll fit in pummels your hand real easy. Well, it was 30 pounds,
wow.
Honey. It was as big as 3 or 4 gallon jugs of milk.
Wow.
And he's skinny now.
I would say. And in Jesus' name, we speak life into your body, Lauren. Life and life more abundantly.
And he expects
kidneys,
to be able to come home from the hospital tomorrow, honey.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory be to God. Thank
miracles.
Thank you for sharing
still,
that with us.
And we're still praying that God will give him healthy kidneys in the place of it.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
Amen.
God is so good. Thank you.
God is so good. Now, Job 33:14. God may speak in one way or another, and man does not perceive it. Remember, this guy's talking from before the flood. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while they're slumbering on their beds, and he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction. You can see that he is capitalized, that's God. In order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from man, keeps his soul back from the pit, and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25, his flesh shall be young like a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Well, thank you guys for being here with us. And I'm off to haul some sand, and we'll see you in the morning. Friday, praise day, at 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Centrale. And remember, those fiery darts, they're just a picture of what the enemy wants you to be. And all you got to do is shout the picture of who you are. I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. That picture was never me. And I have been set free. My shield of faith, because I'm speaking these words right now, my shield of faith is strong. Has quenched the fiery darts of the enemy. And righteousness was imputed to me. To me. In Jesus' mighty name. Bless you, Richard. Bless you, Wayner. Bless you, Tracy McSwain. And I call that deal done. Roger Oxy, happy birthday. Rebecca Smith, we love you. Happy birthday to you. Sunday Geyser, we love you. Happy birthday to you. Brother Dan, we love you. Happy birthday. It's everybody's birthday today. Sure do love you guys. Sister Phyllis. And
Audrey.
Audrey and Mary Pastorick. We love you. And we love you. And we love you. And we love you. Remember this. Everybody say it with me. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
God bless you.
God bless you.
See you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. Blog Talk Radio, wherever you are around the world, we speak life and life more abundantly to you, all your family and friends. Send us a picture someday in the email of you sitting in. You can have this program, how you do it, if it's you and your cell phone or something, have somebody take a picture of it while you're, and give it to us. We're going to create a board right up here behind us, a picture board of our friends and partners from around the world. We'd love to see who you are and be a blessing to you in Jesus' mighty name. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.